Welcome back to episode 126 of Chess Journeys, Tales of Adult Improvement. Here on Chess Journeys, we love to look at the glories of ratings gain. Like, say, when I gained 150 points in one tournament. Oh, that was pretty great. But we also look at the plateaus and the pits of despair, like when I lost 175 points in less than a year. If you want to support the show, you can go to Chess Journeys on Patreon. And I do want to thank our Queen level supporters, Tim Everett, Scott, D4B6, Joe, Matt Bush, Jay Garrison, Don Rich Burgess, Brandon Hulsa, Jeff Peterson, Tobias Rex, Bob Berger, Nicholas Harrigan, Rich Bradley Fenner, Watcher Ray, Nathan Peterson, Christian Glaw, and King level supporter, Ian Samples. If you want to appear on the show, you can fill out the Google form and the show notes. We do all want to hear your story. And if you submitted something a long time ago, just resubmit it. I have a hard time getting to all of them, but I'm doing my best. And if you're interested in improvement, which I'm guessing you are, you can check out Noel Studer's Next Level Training Program, and you can use the code in the show notes below to support the show. All right, let's get on to what we're doing today. So today, I'm doing what I've wanted to do for a while, which is to peer in the mind of a child and figure out, how do they get so good so fast? And I was very lucky to be joined today by Forrest. He's the famous 11-year-old who has dominated our chess club of late, including winning our club championship this month. On the way to that victory, he defeated a master. I don't know if that's his first master. Maybe he just eats them for breakfast. I'm not sure. When I first met him about a year and a half ago, he was rated 1,000, and today he's rated over 1,900. So I'm hoping we can figure out, how do these scary kids get so good so quickly? And Forrest's mom's Lonnie will be here today as well, just in case we need some help. But I think Forrest and I will be good. So, Forrest, welcome to the show. And have you had a chance to play any chess yet today?
No, I haven't. I had like a long day of school today. So, like, I didn't play any chess today.
Wait. You go to school? I just thought you stayed home and studied chess all day.
Unfortunately, no. I wish I studied chess more.
Okay. I know your mom's there, so you might not want to admit this, but do you like sneak chess at all at school? Are you able to, or are you kind of cut off from all your chess devices at school?
I don't really play much chess at school. Mostly, I just like play chess at home, do like club tournaments. That's where I mostly get in all my chess.
All right. Do you have like a chess club at your school?
Well, there is like a group where there's chess players during like lunch, but there isn't like a specific like chess club that I know about, but there might be one.
Okay. I gotta ask you this. Are the lunch chess players terrified of you?
I wouldn't say terrified. I mean like maybe, like I don't know how to put it. I think they just know me as like a fine player. Like a solid player. Like, I wouldn't say terrified. Like,
okay. All right. That's fair. Because Isabella, who you know, my 8-year-old child, they are terrified of her at her chess club, at her school, and she is not quite as good as you. She's a little bit worse than you. And all those kids are terrified of her. So I don't know. Maybe they are terrified of you and they're just not telling you. I don't know. We'll see. All right. Well, let's get on to some questions. The first one is submitted by someone you might know, and Patreon supporters can submit questions ahead of time quite often. But this question is submitted by one Isabella, my child. She wants to know this, Forrest. When did you start playing chess and who taught you how to play?
I started playing chess in kindergarten at like the age of 6. And my mom taught me how to play and I really hated it when I started.
What did you hate about it?
Well, when I was little, like at the age of 6, I didn't like doing new things in general. So because chess was a new thing, I didn't like really doing it.
Okay. Was part of it like that you might fail or that you might lose at it? Is that why new things were kind of scary?
Well, I don't think it was scary. I was just afraid that I wouldn't like it in the future and that there wasn't any point in learning it.
Okay, I gotta ask this question. Was your mom able to beat you at first?
Yeah, she was able to whoop me because I always got my queen out because I thought the queen was so powerful and so strong.
Yeah, and the queen is powerful and strong, right? But But we professionals know that you shouldn't bring her out too early, right?
Okay. Yup, but I didn't.
Okay. Well, that's really great for your mom. So no matter how good you get, she can always be like, remember when I used to be able to beat you, Forrest? So good for mom, right?
Oh, yeah. Good for her at the time she could beat me.
Okay. I imagine she can't beat you anymore. Is that true?
Yeah, she can't beat me anymore.
Okay. All right. Okay. So you started at six as a kindergartner. What did you do when you first started? Were you just kind of playing with mom, moving the pieces around? Like, when did you decide to that you actually liked chess?
Well, I played in my chess club at my school because at elementary, there's a chess club. There's a solid amount of players. I played in my elementary chess club until I was a second grader. I did pretty well in my chess club.
Okay, so you are in the chess club for the first 2 years. When you got into second grade, did you stop playing in the chess club because people weren't able to give you good games, or did you keep playing?
Well, I thought that because I got first, I felt like I might want to, like, play chess in, like, other places and, like, play chess where, like, in not such a small area, like a school. Maybe, like, more, like, to the city or to the states.
Okay. And when you were playing in that kindergarten through second grade, were you playing at all online? Were you on, like, Chess Kid or Chess.com or anything like that?
Well, I started chess.com on February 9th, 2019. Oh, that's when I was in second grade.
Okay.
So I started playing chess.com in second grade.
Okay. So when you got to second grade, it sounds like, is that when you started taking chess a little bit more seriously with second grade? Where you were like, I think I really like this.
Yeah, but there was another tournament that, like, my chess coach for my elementary chess club invited me to. It was USC. And I won second in that. And that's when I started taking things more seriously after that.
Okay. So after winning your school chess club and doing well at another chess club, it was like you realized you were really good at this and being good at it. Did that just make it more fun?
Yeah, like, I was just inspired by Magnus Carlsen, and I really wanted to be like him. So that, like, pushed me and, like, wanted me to take him more seriously.
Oh, interesting. So is he still, like, your chess idol?
Wait, what again?
Is Magnus Carlsen, like, a chess idol for you, someone you look up to, or are there other players you really like now?
I like Hikaru, I like Magnus, I like all the Grandmasters that I know. Because they just have so much skill and a great background.
Okay. Excellent. All right, so when you got on chess.com, I guess my question is, what time controls did you start playing? Were you like a blitz bullet guy right from the start, or did you play slower time controls?
Well, I still play this time control now on chess.com. It's 10... plus zero rapid.
Okay. Was that your main time control for a while?
Yep, but then I started, like, playing bullet later on, but mostly I played rapid because, like, I could, like, take time. I don't want to be in a rush, like, bullet, and just, like, go boom, 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 boom.
Okay. That's interesting because the first time I met you, that's how you played classical chess. You played classical chess, like, maybe it was like a 3 minute match, right? So did at some point you really speed up after getting better at chess and playing a lot of 10-0? Did you sort of switch to playing faster?
Yeah, like, I might have correlated the 10-0 to, like, a classical chess when I only spent 10 minutes when I played against you, like a rapid time control.
Okay, gotcha. So that was, like, the long time control you were used to. So that's how you sort of, like, figured out how much time to take in your games?
Yep.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'd say my daughter Isabella is kind of in a similar boat. Like, to her, a 20-minute game is a very long game. And, like, anytime I go to a big tournament, I'm like, hey, do you want to join me? She's like, no, those games are way too long. So when did you start really enjoying the long games? Or do you still not like them?
I still do not like them. Like, long games are, like, way too long. Like, I can't, like, come back when I'm losing and, like games that are over an hour. Like, once I'm losing, there's no coming back.
Okay. So, like, if it was up to you, would, like, what would the longest time control be in a big tournament?
Probably an hour with 5 second delay.
Okay. So, is that one of your favorite time controls then?
Yeah, it's, like, the longest, but I still do well. And like that, anything above that, I probably would not do well.
Okay. And it sounds like one of the reasons is you feel like it's once you get to a certain length, it's just hard to come back because people can just take their time and anything you try to come up with, they have some sort of answer to.
Yup.
Okay. That sounds good. I'm curious about your other interests. It seems like I saw you play the flute marvelously last night. Is chess your only interest or do you do a bunch of other things?
Well, I don't really enjoy flute and piano. Chess is my biggest interest. Like, I might do like some sports, a little bit of each, but chess mostly is like what I really like enjoy doing.
Okay, so chess is your favorite, but you have other things that you spend your time on? Okay.
Yep.
How much chess are you able to play each day or week? Like, so it sounds like you go to school and then you probably have some sort of musical instrument lesson a couple days a week. Are you able to play chess every day?
Well, not every day in a week. Like back in like when I was in second, third grade, I was into chess kits. Like two. Not just chess.com.
Okay. So you're not able to play every day because you've got lots of stuff going on. Okay.
Yep.
Play more. What do you do when you play chess? Like, do you mostly play Blitz and Rapid, or do you spend much time actually like studying chess from books and things like that?
Well, I actually do more playing than studying and that stuff.
Okay. Because do you own a chess book?
Own a chess book?
Yeah.
Yes. Many chess books, but I don't read them. Like every now and again, like I would just look at it, look at like random portions of the book.
Okay, so you do look at them sometimes.
Yep.
Do you use online resources at all? Like, do you watch Hikaru stream, or are you watching videos of chess players?
Yep, I like watch like Gotham Chess.
Okay. Do you watch his streams or his YouTube?
Like, I watch his YouTube, and his cursing is pretty entertaining, too.
Okay, interesting. Okay, so is Gotham your favorite, then?
For chess, he is.
Okay, so he's your favorite chess content creator. Do you use anything like Chessable to work on your openings?
Chessable?
Yeah.
No, I don't really use Chessable. I just like learn from my coach and then he gives me studies and I work on them.
Okay. Are those like studies in Lichess or something like that?
Yup, we use Lichess a lot, but it can be in Hyox Chess too. You probably don't know what that is.
Okay, gotcha. So he sends you like a PGN file and then you're kind of working on your openings that way?
Yup, exactly.
Okay. Do you get to meet with your coach very often?
I would say about a average of twice a week.
Twice a week. All right, nice. And is this like an online thing or does your coach come to your house?
My coach is from India.
So he comes to your house. Okay, cool.
No, he actually doesn't. We have
Zoom. Oh, he doesn't. Okay, that's cool. So you have a coach in India. You meet with them a couple times a week. And then do you spend most of the time when you are studying chess, looking at openings, or do you do other things? Like, do you practice end games or like pawn structures or tactics?
Well, I work on those things too, but there's a rumor going on about end games that kids suck at end games, and I want kids don't suck at end games.
Uh-oh. Yeah, that was the old rumor, right? That like if you just took a kid to an end game, you would be fine. But I agree, the kids at our club are good at end games. So how did you get good at end games?
Well, you know, Juan, he taught me a little bit of end games in
Ooh.
like June.
Okay, so Juan taught you some stuff.
Yup.
Okay. How much time have you spent learning end games? Is it just kind of like a couple times with Juan, or do you, I guess you said you don't look at books. Do you watch any videos about end games? Like, does Gotham have some good stuff?
Well, I don't look at Gotham's end games very much. I look at more like the opening and middle game dynamics.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. So you've got a little information from Juan, and then it's maybe the reason you're good at end games then is just kind of calculation. Do you do a lot of tactics puzzles?
Tactic puzzles. Yes, I do a lot of them on like ChessKids and chess.com. Those are my chess tactic puzzles I do.
Okay. What's your puzzle rating on chess.com?
Well, I'm like when I was at my best, it might have been like almost 3,000, pretty low.
Yeah, that's pretty great. My highest was 2,900, but it's dropped quite a bit for us. I don't know what happened. It dropped like 200 points.
Mine's dropped too. It's like 2,800.
Oh, okay. So it's not just me. That's good to hear. That is good to hear. Okay. So it sounds like you're doing some tactics, a little bit of end games. You said you work on strategy. Where do you find resources for working on strategy?
Again, mostly for my coach and like chess kids lessons too, that I like used to do.
Okay, so like you went through all those chess kid lessons. Did you do them all? Did you what is it, like the Super King or something? I can't remember what that top one is called.
From King to Super King, I had to do 15,000 puzzles to get to Super King.
Wow, and you did them all?
Yup.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you've done a lot of tactics. That makes a lot of sense to me because it feels like you are quite a tactical player. If you had to say, were you more of like an attacking player or a positional player? What do you think you would say?
Well, I used to be attacking, like kids are known for to be too reckless, but I've gone to be more positional and more like a more higher rated style and not like, oh, just knock out the king and you win and you rely on that move.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. What prompted you to adopt a more positional style? Was that something your coach worked on you with, or was it just you picked it up sort of playing enough games?
I think it was my coach because I see like other people playing positional, like Magnus Carlsen plays positionally more than attacking. Positional is patient. Attacking is like you can't wait and you just go right away.
Okay, so you feel like playing positionally is like demonstrating patience, and your moment will come, and then you attack.
Yup.
Interesting. When you're meeting with your coach, do you guys do a lot of like going over Grandmaster games, or what kind of stuff do you guys do together?
Well, we just do like calculation and strategy and puzzles and different chess concepts.
Okay. So it sounds like your coach is a pretty driving force in like your gathering of chess information.
Yep.
Okay. And so then when you're not in your lesson, when you're doing chess, are you mostly playing chess then and like maybe tactics?
Well, usually I play chess on the weekends.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. So are the weekdays mostly like school and after school activities and hanging out with family?
Like school, homework, then homework, then homework.
Wow, your teachers need to give you less homework. Jeez. Okay. All right. How about analyzing your games? Like when we played our game last time, did you go home and look at it? Did you look at it with your coach? How does that work?
Every time I play a game, my coach always analyzes it. There hasn't been a single game that's like USEF rated that my coach has not analyzed. almost everyone.
Gotcha. So like you send it to him, he looks at it, and then he kind of like talks to you about some big moments in the game or something like that?
Yeah. He talks to me like, oh, Forrest, like, you did this wrong. You need to work on not doing this next time.
Okay. That's cool. What do you say about our game? Was he impressed with your combination? Because I was pretty impressed. I was like, oh my goodness, it felt to me like an 8-move combination.
You mean like when I played Rook takes B2 and then took in the center?
Yeah, but you even set it up with, you know, trading off the pawns to even get to there. And I thought I was fine. I backed up my rook and I was like, I mean, I backed up my bishop and I was like, I'm good. And then you went wham and you took my bishop with your rook anyway. I was very upset, Forrest. I was very upset. It was a good move.
Mike said that it was pretty good. My coach was happy.
Your coach was happy with you?
Nice. Yep.
Okay. How about your friends and family? Have they been supportive of your chess? Like, I see your mom at a lot of these events. But how about everyone in your life? Are they like, yay, Forrest is a great chess player? Or how does that work?
No, they don't want to brag about me because it would be too arrogant to brag about me, but they do support my chess.
Okay, that's cool. Do you thank your mom a lot for being so wonderful and like driving you around and waiting for you at tournaments?
Yeah, I'm happy about that. I think it's really sweet of her to like spend her time to let me have enjoyment.
Okay, that's good. I think that's one of the things that a lot of chess players don't realize is the chess parents. It's hard. It's easier for me to play chess than to wait around for Bella to play chess. So yeah, thanks to all the parents out there who are amazing and helping out. Okay, so you said you played some tournaments at your school, and then you had that, I don't know, what'd you call it, a USC tournament, and then you decided to go into some bigger tournaments. What got you into playing some bigger tournaments? It looks like you started maybe at the Chess Palace with like some Scholastic tournaments. Is that right?
Yes, Purdue SCF, I started at the Chess Palace.
Okay. And what was your motivation for getting out and starting to play tournaments?
Oh, well, I was like, I need to find a way that I could have like FIDE rating, I mean a USCF rating. I was still provisional. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to like thought I would make a lot of money at chess. But it's only $5 million at the most. It's really perfect.
That sounds pretty good to me. Okay. Are you hoping to be the world champion and make the $5 million?
Yes, I want to have millions.
Okay. Yeah. I would like millions too. I don't think I'm gonna get to do it in chess though. I think I started a little bit late. But what are your goals? Are you hoping to be like a master, a FIDE master, a GM? What do you think?
Probably a GM is what I would want to be when I'm like a teenager, probably, because that's my goal. It's a really big goal.
Okay, so you've got a big goal of being a GM by the time you're a teenager. Ooh, that'll be exciting. All right, I'm looking forward to this. Okay, sorry, we got distracted there. Tournaments. So you started playing these Scholastic tournaments. What made you think, you know what? I'm going to a laundry park and I'm going to play with adults. Because when you first started coming, there were not many kids at that tournament. Was it intimidating to play with adults or were you not worried at all?
I was like, oh, there's some pretty solid players at this club. I saw that there were players up to 2,000 on 900. I'm like, oh, I got nothing to lose because I'm only 900. And even like a draw would still bump me up a lot because I'm so low.
Yeah, okay. So you weren't really intimidated. You thought it was just like a great opportunity?
Yep.
Okay, nice. Do you have a favorite tournament so far?
Favorite tournament? Probably either Chess Palace or ICEA.
Okay, was it because you had a lot of success in that tournament?
Yeah, and the time control is more, were shorter,
Oh, okay.
And time control is more like.
Yeah, I hear you. It's funny because I played in the ICA once and it was too fast for me. It was only like, what is it, like 45 minutes with a delay or something. And I was like, no, this is too fast. I need slower.
It's like either too fast or too slow. That's the problem. What's just right for you?
Yeah, just right for me, I think, is like the game 90s with like a 30-second increment. I think those are my favorites.
Oh, that's Vegas right there. You get your face. I'm controlling Vegas.
I'm really looking forward to this tournament. So are you going to the tournament in Vegas?
Yup, you're playing U1900, right?
Yep, I just registered today in the under 1900. What section are you playing in?
Under 2100.
Okay, so why are you playing in the under 2100? Because you could play in the under 1900. Is it a
Well, my
challenge?
reading is actually 1930. So, but it will show me a 1796. But what I imagine my rating as is my actual rating. So I felt like I played in U2100 last time, low as a lower player. This time I'm just gonna do it as a higher player.
Okay. What are you hoping to have your results be at the tournament?
Well, I would wish to be 7 out of 7, but that's never gonna happen.
Okay. Well, that would be awesome if you went 7 out of 7. Nice. What would make you happy? If what score could you come home and be like, yes, that was a great tournament?
Maybe 4.5 out of 7.
Okay. Yeah, that seems great. I would love to go 4.5 out of 7 also. So when you go to a big tournament, how does this work? Do you like find the tournament and tell your mom you want to go there? And then you go out and get a part-time job and save up the money for the entry fee. Like, how does that work?
Well, my mom actually pays for the tournament.
Oh, that's very nice of her. Okay.
Yep.
And did she find the tournament for you, or did you hear about the tournament?
I think my mom tells me that like there's that big tournament, and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm doing that.
Okay. Yeah, that's what happens with Bella and I. I'll just tell her like, "Hey, there's this big tournament. Do you want to play in it?" And you know what she always tells me? She
Yes.
says, "How many trophies are they giving out?" That is how she decides what tournament she plays in.
I decide how much money do I get to.
What do you do with the money that you earn from tournaments? Does it go back to your mom for paying for everything, or does it go in a special Forest Chess fund?
It's for decoration in my bank account.
Oh, it goes in your bank account. Nice. Okay. So you get to keep your winnings. That's pretty great. Someone else pays your entry and you get to keep your winnings? That is a good deal. Man, I like
Yup.
that. Right. Let's talk about the Alondra Park Championship then. How does it feel to be the club champion? You're going to get your name on the plaque for all eternity. How does that feel?
That feels really good.
Nice. Yeah, were
Like
you
that feel
excited?
on my boats.
Yeah, were you excited that after you beat me, you were already guaranteed, like you didn't even have to play the last round?
Well, after I beat you, I expected that the game would be like much more intense, like you would play the B3. I thought it would be like a long game that took eternity. And then it would be like a really intense game, but
Against me or against Matthew?
against you.
Oh, so you are expecting me to play better. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I knew that you could play really well because I saw you winning 3.5 out of 4 is like really good. Like 87.5% that's pretty high for a tournament.
Yeah, I must admit, I was pretty disappointed as well. I came into that game and I was like, okay, all right. This is going to be a good game. And I actually thought things were going really well until they weren't. Until that moment, I thought I was doing well. So you beat a master in this tournament. Is Juan the first master you've beaten?
Yup, he's the first master. I'm sorry I have to admit it to you, Juan. Please don't listen to this podcast.
Yeah, I don't know if Juan listens to the podcast, so you might be in the clear there. What was your toughest game in the tournament?
Probably against one. I got in that game. He just threw. He would have won.
Wait, so you're saying you got behind?
Yep. I got like way behind. They tried to equalize in the end game. I did not expect him to make that blunder. Even with 5 seconds, he probably wouldn't make that blunder. I wouldn't expect him to, at least.
So did he get in really big time trouble before he made his blunder?
He had like 3 full minutes.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting because I'm sure you're thinking like 3 minutes is a long time. When I get down to 3 minutes, I start thinking like, oh no, I'm almost out of time. And you're like, this is the start of a blitz game. What are you talking about? Does that sound right?
Oh, no, I'm like, this is like almost the end of a USCF match. Like, if you just think about your move for a minute, then you have 2 minutes, and then just don't blunder and you win.
Okay. That's a good attitude. Are you planning to win the tournament next year, or are you going to give someone else a shot?
Maybe I might go to like another tournament, depending on my rating, like next year, maybe.
Okay. So you're saying you might leave our club and go find a different one?
I might say bye. I said goodbye to Juan and Matthew and my older brothers, RC and you.
Wow. Well, if you did do that, we would be sad, Forrest. And also, we won't let you leave. So sorry. Sorry. That's just how it works, Forrest. Okay.
I'm trapped.
Well, okay. That was a really great win. I was very impressed. We have one of the people who listens to the podcast named Bradley wanted to ask you a question. All right. You ready? So okay. He says, congratulations on your win, Forrest. Do you prefer online learning materials or books? I feel like you already answered that, right?
Well, Bradley, I just like learn from like coaches, and like sometimes I look at books now and then, random parts of the book.
Okay.
Like now and then I might look at a book or something.
And then he also wants to know, do you focus more on openings, tactics, or end games? Any answers there?
Well, I might focus mostly these days on like pawn end games. Like, oh, it's equal number of pawns. If your opponent has a slight weakness, you have to take advantage of it right away.
Okay, so you're really working on end games. Interesting. Have you noticed any of those three having a bigger impact on your game when you study tactics, openings, or end games?
Well, I think these days, end games, because there's so many games that I might have lost and I was in a losing position in the middle game, but then I came back in the end game.
Ooh.
So important.
Okay, so you're saying, it sounds like you're saying the end games used to be kind of a weakness for you, but they're really becoming a strength for you. And you can like be Capablanca and win even end games. Does that sound right?
Yeah, like not as good as Capablanca in an endgame.
Okay. Have you looked at his endgames at all?
Well, I haven't seen much of Capablanca's endgame specifically.
Okay. I have a book on like Capablanca's best 60 endgames, and almost every one of them, they're even, and he just finds a way to beat his opponent anyways. It's quite remarkable.
Yeah, Capablanca would probably beat me in an end game. If it was a rook end game up one pawn, I would still be dumb enough to jack it up.
Yeah, he's pretty tricky. He's a pretty tricky guy, or was a pretty tricky guy. Well, how do you feel about being famous on YouTube as Feisty Forrest on the Coffee Chest YouTube channel? Do you watch your games at all and your prolific trash talk?
Well, there hasn't been much video since the last video was October 18th, 2023. That was the last video. So, there hasn't been much anymore.
Okay, so there hasn't been anything lately to watch. Okay. Do you think it's fun to be able to see yourself on YouTube? Do you tell your friends about it?
I know that's not good. I don't tell my friends much.
Okay. I think if I was on Coffee Chest, I would tell my friends. But I've got bad news. whenever I go there, I play terribly. And they're, I don't think they want my games on there. They're like, and he blundered for the third time this game. What a game. We got to put that one on YouTube. I don't think they're going to do that, are they, Forrest?
Well, just because someone blunders doesn't mean that they shouldn't be put on coffee as well. Boston Mike is trash, but he's just a really good trash talker. Boston Mike, don't listen to this podcast. I am warning you! Exclamation.
All right, I'll let him know not to listen. I think that is a good point, right? That channel is about entertainment. I'm also not a good trash talker. I basically just sit there quietly. So, yeah, I'm going to either have to get better at chess or better at trash talk. Forrest, which one do you suggest? Which one should I try to work on?
Well, if you, like, have so many of those big wins, I think your chess is fine. Just, like, do not get intimidated by your opponent's rating. I think you should have, like, trash talking. It brings more enjoyment to the game. I think that's what you should.
So do you enjoy, like, trash-talking fun games more or, like, USCF-rated games more?
Probably, like, fun games because they might be easily offended if I trash-talk them.
It's like if you trash-talk them at a USCF tournament?
Yep.
Have you tried that yet?
Well, if it's not, like, a real USCF-rated and we play, like, four around, then, yeah, sometimes I trash-talk every now and then. It's funny.
Yeah. It would be funny if you in Vegas, like in a completely silent tournament hall, you started trash talking your opponent. I think you would get in a lot of trouble, right? Since we're not allowed to talk at the games.
I'd be kicked out and I would permanently lose 200 rating points and my floor would drop to 1500.
Oh, wow. I don't know if the penalty would be that severe, but yeah, it's probably a good idea not to. I know this is probably, I don't know, kind of a ridiculous question, but I think I'm going to ask it anyway. Do you feel like you have a structured study plan that you're working from, or are you just kind of doing what you feel like doing in any given day?
I just do what I do. I'm like preemptive with my plans.
Okay. You just kind of work on what you feel like working on that day?
Yup.
Okay. Your journey hasn't been that long yet, but I'm curious, have you had any frustrating moments? Have you had any tournaments where you lost some rating points and you were kind of worried, like, am I going to reach my goals? Is this tournament throwing me off? Have you had any moments like that yet?
I might have had one really, really, really bad tournament, the Pits of Despair. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Okay, so you had one tournament that sent you into the Pit of Despair. And how did you get out of that Pit of Despair? Did you talk to your coach and work with him?
Well, I might have, we worked with him. I won 4 out of 6 in this tournament, but I still dropped from 1710 all the way down to 1667.
Ooh, after going 4 out of 6?
Because I lost, like, 1520 and a 1489.
Yeah, was that really frustrating?
Yes, I was like, so what's the point in playing this if I win 4 out of 6 and still lose 40 rating points?
Yeah, that is the challenge of tournaments, right? It's one of the reasons why I often play up in tournaments because I feel the same way. Like, if I win most of my games and then I'm going to lose rating points, it kind of feels bad.
Yep.
Okay. Let me see here. Okay. I think I know the answer to this question too, but I'm going to ask anyway. Would you say that you play chess more or that you study more? Because it does sound like you spend a couple hours a week with your coach each week. It sounds like you're studying there. Do you get more time than that to play chess? Like on the weekends, do you just kind of play all day or how does that work?
I would usually just play all day. I do not do much studying whatsoever. I think it's really boring to study.
Okay. Yeah, studying can be tough. I agree. So like on weekends, do you have like a couple hours a day where you're able to play?
Yes. I'm like pretty free on the weekends. I don't have much things I have to do.
Okay, nice. And your parents let you just kind of play as much chess as you want because it's good for your chess?
No, they don't. They make me do other things on the weekends.
How rude of them. Okay. And what kind of time controls are you playing on the weekends? Do you still play some Rapid, or is it mostly Blitz and Bullet?
Well, I think it might be Rapid these days because my Bullet has dropped down to 1900 from like all the way to 2080.
Oh, okay. Wow. So you've been mostly playing Blitz, did you say, or did you say Rapid?
Yeah, Rapid,
Yeah.
around 2100 range of Rapid.
Okay. So you're like 2100 on chess.com Rapid?
Yup.
Okay. That's really good. Do you not play Blitz anymore?
It's like Bullet is fun and fast, Rapid is fun and slow, Blitz is like the not right, like the not right, like the Blitz, like the fastest right is the Bullet, and the slow one is the Rapid, and the Blitz is the only one that isn't just right.
Oh, okay. So it's like either you want to play all out speed and win on time and flagging, or you want to play slower chess, but like Blitz just feels like an awkward in between.
Yep.
Okay. That's interesting because for some reason I had thought you were like a Blitz specialist. I guess I was wrong on that one. So, how many Rapid games are you able to play in a day then on the weekend?
Probably like let's say 5 to like 10 at most.
Okay, and these are 10-0 games?
Yeah, no, maybe like 5 to 15 when I'm with my dad.
Okay, and they're 10-0 games.
Yep.
Do you analyze them at all? Like, do you look at the openings afterwards and see like where'd I go wrong, or is it just like next game, let's do this?
Well, sometimes I go like analyze, and then I might go like next game, and
Okay, that's fair. So you said you have a bunch of books and you open some sometimes. So I'm going to ask you a wild question. Forrest, what's your favorite chess book?
probably one that a best friend gave me. I think it was called Chess Omnibus.
Chess Omnibus?
Yeah, which means bus in Portuguese.
Okay. That's interesting. I don't know that one. What do you like about that book?
Oh, that it has like many different puzzles that are for different levels of master games.
Oh, okay. So it has a bunch of different things, puzzles, games. Okay.
Yup.
Okay. So if you had to name one thing that's helped you improve the most as a chess player, what do you think it is? Is it doing tactics, meeting with your coach, just playing lots of games? What do you think has helped you get so good?
Well, overall, I think it's just been that I'm slowing down and I'm playing more positionally. That has really helped me the most overall. Playing positionally really influences your maturity as a chess player.
Okay, interesting. So your big suggestion is slow down, think about the position. And when you say playing positionally, like, do you have any checklists or anything going through your mind when you're looking at a position? Are you looking at like the placement of your pieces, the pawn structure? Like, what kind of things go through your mind?
I judge like, oh, like if I'm playing black, like if I have like an equal pawn structure and not and like equal weaknesses as my opponent, I know that I'm doing really, really well and I'm doing nothing wrong. If like black, if black can equalize.
Okay. And then what about with white? Are you trying to push for wins and trying to like make imbalances?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, if my opponent is starting to equalize, I must be doing something wrong. I should take advantage of me getting the first move.
Okay. Has playing positionally changed your openings at all? Or are you just playing the same openings but kind of thinking about them differently?
Playing positionally has helped me really understand the main point of an opponent's plan.
Okay, so there's a lot of like really thinking about what is my opponent's next move going to be instead of just focusing on your next move.
Yeah, like I'm not just focusing on what I want to do, but what my opponent's first best move is in return to my move.
Okay, yeah, that's such a great idea. I guess my last question is, you said you worked with your coach on calculating. What does that mean for you? How do you work on your calculation?
I work on my calculation by probably just doing them in the class and like thinking in my head like, oh, if I do this, then his best move is this, and if I do this, his best move is that. And I see at the end of my calculation if my position turns out good enough for like what I had to give up.
Gotcha. And do you feel like you're good at figuring out what your opponent's best move is?
I still need to work on that. Sometimes I just like see like, oh, there's a queen sack ahead. And I'm gonna just expect my opponent to fall for it, and then I have this beautiful queen sacrifice. And I realize, oh, well, that's the best move. He doesn't have to do that. And the queen sack is all gone.
Yeah, I feel like that's my biggest weakness as well. It's what I'm working on is finding my opponent's best move. I'm great at finding their worst move and assuming they play it, but finding their best move can be hard. That's a good point. Well, Forrest, anything you want to let our audience know before we wrap up here today?
Well, please follow his podcast more. I think it's a really good idea. I want at least a million people to follow his podcast. It's a really good podcast. It's like entertaining to watch. It's been an honor to be on your podcast, and it's been like the funnest hour that I've had in this whole week.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Forrest. It's been an honor for me to have you on the podcast and just to watch you develop as a chess player. The first time I played you a year and a half ago, I showed up at the club and the person who runs it said, "I'm really sorry, Kevin, but the person you're playing against this week, their rating is not accurate." And I was like, "Okay, that's fine." And I sat down and your rating was 1,000. And I was like, he's probably just pretty, like, he's okay for 1,000. And you were very, very good for 1,000. And I was very worried when you didn't make any mistakes for quite a while, but you played your game very fast. And eventually I was able to get you there. But you slowed down a lot. And boy, Forrest, it's been fun to watch you and see how good you've gotten. So thanks so much for coming on the show today.
It's an honor to be on your podcast again. And please, again, guys, follow his podcast. Be king level supporters. Not only Ian Samples, more than Ian Samples. Ian Samples, you're the bestest podcast. I want you to be more like him. This podcast is actually a really good thing to watch for chess. It's good as like famous celebrities in chess.
Wow. Well, thank you for the high praise, Forrest. I really appreciate it. Well, everybody, that is going to wrap it up for today. Thanks so much for stopping by. I hope you learned a lot about how kids get so good at chess. My big takeaway is Forrest plays a lot of chess. That's my big takeaway, and also works on stuff. So I'll see you all next time, and hopefully this will be the week where you gain 950 points. If not, that's okay. That's pretty unrealistic. So I'll see you next time. Goodbye, everybody.